Well, beyond the musings of Ann and Nancy Wilson of Heart, is there such a thing as a magic man in real life? We do know we have shaman, and a shaman is a person who, in tribal cultures, communicates with the spirit world. As intermediaries, shaman ask spirits to intercede in the lives of humans, healing them of illnesses, granting favors. And that's what we're here to talk about for the last 2 hours of tonight's program. Shaman, and specifically a gringo shaman. How does one become a shaman, and especially how does one become a gringo shaman? We'll be asking that question of Ron Wheelock, the gringo shaman, and also we'll be bringing in one of his prime pupils, Victoria Alexander, a friend of ours from here in Las Vegas. Ron, you there?
Yes, I am.
And Victoria? Well, Victoria will be joining us, I guess, in a couple of minutes.
Okay.
Ron, let's just start it off. How do you become a shaman, and how do you become the gringo shaman?
Well, to become a shaman entails much studies with the plants, where I do extensive diets with ingesting many different tree barks, resins, roots, many different plants from trees, whatever, where I abstain from no salt, no sugar, no sex for long periods of time, and eat very bland diets, rice, green plantain, bananas, potatoes, certain types of fish, chicken, boiled eggs is basically my diet. And I've done diets from 3 days up to 64 days in length.
To sort of prepare you for these ceremonies.
Yes, and through the diets, then the plants come to you in your visions when we drink ayahuasca, or in our dreams, and they teach us songs to call the spirits of the plants to do healing work.
You're here in the US right now. Do you live mostly in the Amazon, in Peru?
Yes, I've lived outside of Iquitos, Peru for 10 years now. I went the first time in March of 96 and went back the same year and stayed 5 months and started my studies.
And so you learned under a guy named Don Augustine, right?
Don Augustine Rivas Vasquez.
It sort of reminds me of Carlos Castaneda and his Don Juan.
Well, his books really moved me in this direction. I found them very interesting, as I'm sure many people have.
And did you move to South America to become a shaman?
When I went the first time, I had read all of Carlos Castaneda's books. I read some other books, but I found that I was just reading the same story over and over. So I finally had a friend of mine loan me a copy of Shaman's Drum, and I inquired about Journeys to the Rainforest with the intentions of finding a healer to teach me, and was very fortunate my first time out to find Don Augustine Rivas Vasquez.
I would imagine there are people there who would be willing to teach you the basics. What I don't know is whether they're willing to teach you enough of the basics so you become a shaman yourself. I would imagine that there is some resentment about the gringo shaman coming down here and taking over something like this.
Well, I've had to deal a lot with that. There are other gringos down there working, but far as I know, I'm the only one that works on his own.
And you know what, George, let me
Victoria
interrupt.
Alexander joining us. Yes,
Yeah,
go
and
ahead.
say that I feel, and I think Ron's being too modest, he was called to it because the mother ayahuasca chooses who can represent her and who she works best with.
Yes,
Mother
that's correct.
Ayahuasca meaning this plant, right?
Yes. Wouldn't you agree, Ron?
Yes, that's very correct. She chooses who she wants to work with her, and she chooses the people to come to drink her.
Yes, absolutely.
All right. Well, you both would understand the Western mind would have trouble wrapping itself around this, especially Ron. You're saying that you communicate with the spirit world, that there are those who would accept their spirits, but they would only accept certain kinds based on their own religious beliefs. So tell me basically what you do, who these spirits are, what the nature of your communication is, and how you benefit people like Victoria and others.
Well, to communicate with the spirit world, it's if I have certain questions or working with other people who have illnesses or seeking something in their life, usually I set my intentions. I say a prayer. I ask that they come, they teach me or tell me what to do. And I never know in what they come in usually human form. And many times they come and speak to me just like in everyday life, but and many times much clearer.
Meaning without drinking ayahuasca or any other concoction?
It's normally when we drink ayahuasca.
And what do they say? What's the nature of the interaction?
Like if I'm doing a healing on a patient that's sick, I work on the person. If they need to take a certain plant, then the spirits advise me what plants they should take and what kind of a diet and for how long they should follow this.
And do you always...
Let me say that during a ceremony, you look towards the shaman in case you're having a problem. And in most ceremonies I've been in, there's always been the need for the shaman there. And even though he's been drinking, he then must serve the group. He's the one that comes to help if somebody is having a problem. And in Ron's case, I felt him and saw him transform. He's being much too modest with you. You can see how he actually transitions into a facilitator of the spirit working through him.
Transform meaning physically transform or what? How do you mean?
Well, Ron, what would you say? How would you answer that question?
Many times through the plant diets, one prepares their body for other spirits to work through us. And many times other spirits enter me and work through me. So yes, I'm there to help people through whatever problems they're dealing with.
All right, I want to get into the idea of...
Many times people not... so much physically, but in when they're in the state of ayahuasca, and when they look at me, they see me in other forms.
Yes, and I've heard the spirit come through you. Your language changes, your voice changes, everything about you transforms. That's why I use the word transform.
Sure.
I'm not observing him as if he's on display. I'm in the ayahuasca ceremony and experience myself. That's why you need a shaman there, because I certainly couldn't move. If anyone needed help, I couldn't give it to them. So you look towards the shaman, and many times you see how he can help. You watch him help other people.
Yes, exactly. If the place of the shaman, when people enter into these states, if someone was at home doing this, and enter into these bad states, there's no one to help them.
That's right.
They're completely lost.
I'll tell you what, we need to take a break here. When we come back, I want to get into what a typical ceremony would be like. If I were to go down there and see you, Ron, in Peru, what would happen, what I would experience. And then I want to ask you about healings, the nature of these healings, and whether, you know, the Western mind would ask for some sort of documentation. How do we prove it? How do we demonstrate it? So we'll get into that as soon as we come back from this short break on Coast to Coast AM. Welcome back. We're talking with Ron Wheelock, who was born in Kansas, but he isn't your typical Kansas guy, not anymore, because in 1996, he went to Peru looking for a spiritual teacher. He tried ayahuasca. He became, in essence, the gringo shaman of the Amazon and is now using his skills and knowledge to help other people as well. Ron, and we're joined also by one of his, I don't know if I can call you, Victoria, a disciple or a student or a pupil or what?
A student is good.
Student. Okay, student. Ron, give me an idea about what a typical ceremony would be like. Let's say, and I guess it's become sort of a tourist thing where more people come down to Peru to see you specifically for this, right?
Yes, it has become a very big tourist attraction.
So
I've heard there's probably about 10,000 tourists per year come to Iquitos just to experience ayahuasca.
And it's people who need healing in what? What kind of help are they looking for, or what kind of spiritual guidance?
Many people are coming for a confirmation that there is more to life than what really meets the eye. Maybe a confirmation of God or something more spiritual.
And
there's
you get
many people that come with many illnesses, cancer, for example. And I have seen people cured of cancer, but nothing's 100%.
Meaning you have cured people of cancer?
I had a lady many years ago that when I was with Don Augustine, she come with ovarian cancer. And Don Augustine said the reason I came was to cure her. And in a ceremony, me and a spirit entered her body and cured her.
And she's alive today?
She's alive today.
Victoria, you're going to add something?
Yes. What I did want to mention was that there is a great deal of ayahuasca tourism, and there are indigenous shamans, but they're generally now in these big retreats are Westerners who help facilitate. But in Ron's case, he is one of the only Westerners who has become a shaman himself.
Meaning these other ones are like you have a Westerner who's like the master of ceremonies, but you still need the real deal to carry it through.
Well, I consider Ron one of the real deals, but they just call him the gringo shaman, and he has accepted that. But generally, there are Westerners who help guide other, Americans and foreigners into the process, because it is difficult to step into it if you don't know the language and the fear, of course, of taking ayahuasca. But with Ron, you can deal directly with him. You don't need an interpreter.
So it's people that come down who, not necessarily all of them have a disease they want cured. It's people who are curious, who are intellectually curious, spiritually curious.
Well, I've talked to many people who are in ceremonies with me, and many of them are professionals with degrees, and they're having problems in their life, and they just cannot understand it, that their life is not working for them. Many of them have depression and just cannot be lifted from what is bothering them.
So, Ron, is it the kind of thing where I've got a broken heart, some woman broke my heart, I need to get out of my funk, or they're looking for meaning in life? Let's say they're different people looking for different things. Do you mix a different batch of something to help them?
No, they drink the same medicine, but through the Icaros, the songs of the plants, and the spirits working through, we work on the person. We work with perfumes, we work with blowing smoke, and this expels the bad energy and makes it go away. I've had two people who had seen psychiatrists for over a year with no results. Drank ayahuasca with me one time, have never seen a psychiatrist again.
It is transformational. There is something about it. And, Ron, what's interesting is that ayahuasca does not accept everyone.
No.
I mean, I was in my first ceremony with Ron, and there was a woman in her 70s.
Yeah, in her late 70s.
In late 70s, you remember?
Yeah.
And she didn't purge and had no visions. And yet I just laid back because I couldn't move for hours. And most other people in the group were experiencing intense visions, yet ayahuasca was not the path for her.
And that happens many times. Something that keeps me very interested in ayahuasca, every time I drink, I never know what's going to happen.
Meaning like the drug itself or these spirits, whatever you want to call it, says this is not for you.
That's right. And it's a medicine, wouldn't you say, Ron?
It is medicine. We don't like to refer to it as a drug. Because it cleans the body, it cleans the spirit, it cleans the mind. It has the capabilities of healing many different diseases.
You could see how, and I'm sure both of you heard this, okay, this is what's going on. This is Americans with too much money on their hands going down to South America to get loaded.
Oh, no. No, this is, no, no, no. First of all, it's, there's a purge, and there, it's a lot of suffering. It's not fun.
No, it's nothing recreational.
And it doesn't taste good. Ron, I don't know how you have, you take it, so you drink it so much, because it really is difficult to drink.
For my first couple of years of my studies, almost every time I drank, I asked myself, my God, why do I drink this stuff?
Because it makes you sick.
But it's not, you're not nauseous. It just comes, and you feel so clean afterwards. A big reason I drink it, because in my father's side of the family, my father, I've had two brothers, all three have died from pancreatic cancer. So I drink it a lot for my health, and they died at a very young age.
Ron, John just gave me a note that said the guy, one of the gentlemen that drank with us, was an Israeli MD. He was a cardiologist, and it just transformed his life.
Yeah, it's changed many people's lives.
Yeah, it's given him information, medical information that he needed.
Ron, walk me through this. What do you do to prepare? Say three, four people show up. They want to go through a ceremony. What do you do in preparing for it?
Okay, let me go through this. So I drink at 9 o'clock at night. We form a circle. I have my altar prepared. The first thing I do, I blow tobacco smoke around the room to create a safe, sacred space. Then I bless the medicine, say a prayer. I always ask permission from God to work and to give thanks to the plants. then we drink the medicine. The effects can start anywhere from 5 minutes to an hour. Usually within 10 minutes, I start singing. This is to call the spirits. Many times the strength of the medicine depends on the person working with it. It's a strong purgative. Normally, can be at both ends.
Gee, it sounds great so far.
Yeah. It's really great. The visions come on. One never knows. It's an inward journey. It's many times like a mirror, makes us have to look deep inside ourselves. Many people who've had traumatic childhoods are able to look back and see these things. And through the purging, helps clean their body, the mind of these problems, so they can move forward with their life. So I sing throughout the ceremony. I play instruments. I drum. Then at the end, I come around. I blow smoke on everybody, because the body is very open in the state of ayahuasca. So any negative energy in the body is to expel that and to close the body back up so it's protected.
Well, let me also add that Ron spends a good, it seems like 20 minutes with each person at the end, working with the energies of the person and putting them back together again. And as far as the purging goes, George, you know, Westerners, we keep everything that comes out of the body private. Yet you have to drop that because you're in a room full of people, and generally you're aware so that that during the day you're not eating full meals, so that when you do vomit, which is called the purge, you know, it's not, you know, three meals, you know, full day's meals.
Right.
Normally one doesn't eat past noon.
Right, and so there's that's down to a limit.
Okay.
And then Ron always has, and all the shamans have attendants, so that if you need help to leave,
somebody's
go
there
to the bathroom, someone brings you and takes care of you.
We need to take a break. When we come back, Ron, I want you to tell me about ayahuasca and what else goes into the pot. And then, Victoria, I'm going to ask you about your own experiences and the benefits from that you've derived. Stay with us. We're talking with the gringo shaman of the Amazon here on Coast to Coast AM. We're speaking with our own dream weaver of sorts, Ron Wheelock, the gringo shaman of the Amazon, about the miracle of ayahuasca, along with his student, Victoria Alexander. And we'll get back to that in a moment. I need to digress because of some breaking news coming out of Russia. Up to 40 people have been killed, reportedly, in twin explosions at stations on Moscow's metro rail network. The first blast it took place at the Lubyanka metro station in the center of the city. This is right outside the headquarters of what used to be the KGB. The second one followed a little bit later in the southwest part of the city. Again, about 40 people assumed dead, and the investigators say they think it's suicide bombers who were wearing explosive belts. Again, of course, we'll have more information later as it becomes available, as well as on your preferred news outlets. When we come back, Ron Wheelock, gringo shaman of the Amazon, will tell us more about ayahuasca and what it can do for you. Stay with us on Coast to Coast AM. Welcome back. We're learning about ayahuasca with Ron Wheelock, the gringo shaman of the Amazon, and his student, Victoria Alexander. Ron, tell me, let's back up for a second. Tell me about this plant. I mean, How do you harvest it? What else goes into the mix? And how long have people been trying this stuff?
Okay, ayahuasca is a vine. It needs to be a minimum of 7 years old before it's mature enough to use. I've used vines; it's been up to 35 years old. One normally goes very early in the morning, the crack of dawn, to harvest the plant, because in this time the alkaloids are at the highest levels. One asks permission to harvest the plant from the plant. Then we blow smoke on it before we harvest it to bless it. It's a pretty extensive job harvesting it, because these plants, this vine gets rather big.
Is there a lot of it down there?
Yes, there is. There's an awful lot of it. Thanks to many of the foreigners coming down, there's more people planting it. Many of the Peruvians are not good at replanting things. They use and don't put back. So it's pretty extensive harvesting the plant. You have to climb a tree, take it down piece by piece. Then we bring it back to the house. I personally use, it's another vine, but I use the leaves of this vine. It's, I know it as Wambisa. Many people know it better as Chalipanga. And also let me add that I've heard there's as many as, 21 different varieties of ayahuasca. I personally know between 7 and 9. Many people use another leaf from a bush called, they refer to it as chacruna. The Wambisa and the chacruna are DMT-containing plants, which, when mixed with the ayahuasca, which has an MAOI, allows the DMT to be orally active in our bodies. We can't be drug tested for DMT because we all are contain 5 grams of it in the pineal gland and in the foot in our brain or spinal cord. Then I also personally use leaves from another tree called Chirisanango. This tree many times is the roots are used for arthritis, usually soaked in aguardiente to drink for arthritis, rheumatism. There's a flower I use of another small tree called Bobinsana. Then there's I use flowers or leaves from the Datura family, a plant we call there as Toei. And I always like to use tobacco. We have a very strong tobacco. It grows in the jungle. That's no chemicals, no pesticides are ever used on it.
Tell me this, Ron, is it are the effects are they comparable to other kinds of psychoactive drugs that Americans would be more familiar with? LSD, psilocybin mushrooms, something like that.
In the fact that they're hallucinogenic, but that's where the difference ends. I will admit, when I, in my younger years, I experimented with LSD. I found when I did that, depending on the events that happened during the day, could determine the experience from ingesting this drug. But with ayahuasca, I've noticed it doesn't matter what culture a person comes from. They normally have the same types of visions that the indigenous people who have worked with this plant forever. They see jungle, they see snakes, they see animals of the jungle, other worlds, not something pertaining to their basic life many times.
So like with LSD, you remember hearing the story, somebody would take it, they're in a bummed out mood, they jump out of a window.
Yes, I remember these stories.
I don't know how many of them were true, might have been exaggerated, but some of them were, and but nothing like that with this stuff.
Never with this.
Well, can I just say something? When everyone asks me about it, I say that the difference is that with ayahuasca, it's not altered consciousness, it's heightened consciousness.
Very well.
So you are you. It's not like you're in a drugged or a drunken state or a drugged state. And since LSD is a synthetic, there is a very big difference because ayahuasca has a consciousness of its own. So you can have a relationship or you can communicate with it. It takes, it gives, and so that's the very big difference. Instead of you being sort of victim of a drug.
Like all along for the ride or something. Well,
Well,
Victoria,
because
tell me, how many times have you taken it, and what has been the range of your experiences?
well, I began in the year 2000, and so I've taken it maybe once a year. I've gone on retreat since then. At least I try to, and I will do another retreat in July. If people are interested, I would be pleased to correspond with anyone by email. And for me, it has been so profound. It's as if I've been, well, my relationship with ayahuasca is as an advocate. Somebody like Ron has been chosen to be a shaman and to work with other people. But for me, the way I serve the mother ayahuasca is through promoting her and being an advocate for the experience.
And okay, you've done it every year since then. The experience has been different. What have you taught? What have you learned? How has it changed your
Well,
life?
the way it's changed my life is that I know that there is this reality, but it's not the final or the complete reality. You can separate and you can walk into another reality. How it's changed me is it just opens up the re that it's a reality. You can walk into another reality. And I go with intent. So before an experience, before I have a ceremony, I'll write down an intent. Maybe it's to learn about numbers, to learn about a number or a or well, your audience would be interested in this. For one experience, I said I want to see an alien, an extraterrestrial. And
And did you?
this is really fascinating because let's say you were to say to someone, "Well, what's a human being? Well, would it be a black person? Would it be an Asian? How would you identify? What do you think would come to you?" So when I asked to experience an extraterrestrial, this is so elegant. It showed me the DNA of an extraterrestrial. I mean, so that is really for me something profound. So it goes. It answers your question, but it opens the answer up. So it's if you're a mathematician, you could go into the world of equations, and it could open that up for you. Or if you're a medical doctor, that's why professionals generally come to ayahuasca as an agent for opening up what they're interested in.
I guess what you know, the Western mind again would ask, well, you know, what's real about this? Isn't it all internalized, caused by this plant? Why should anybody assume that it's real, that it's anything other than something your mind is reacting to, a substance that you put into your body?
Well, I can answer that, but I would like Ron to answer it.
Yeah,
okay.
I would like that.
Okay.
Okay. Scientists and doctors also say these things to people who have near-death experiences. This is just something in the mind. With my work with ayahuasca, I am 100% sure that after the physical body dies, that my spirit lives on. I have been shown this. And I'll even add that I had an experience where I actually physically died for 10 or 15 minutes in ayahuasca one time. The word ayahuasca comes from the Quechua language, meaning the vine of the soul or the rope of death, not meaning that one dies when they drink it. They may experience dying many times. It helps to teach us to learn how to die. So in many ways, this, I see many people when they get older, in our society, we're really taught to fear death. With the use of these plants, they can help prepare us for this moment. And also this medicine has helped me to do away with worry.
And you could go to ayahuasca with a problem or questions, and it will answer it for you. It's all about intent and your agenda. What are you seeking? And most people find they get the answers that they're looking for, and that's what's important.
Sure.
And is it legal? Is it legal here?
There are the UDV Church and the Santo Daime Church that work with it.
And it was just made legal in Brazil. It's legal in Brazil.
So here
it's not legal. No,
it's not legal.
But the churches are not bothered to work with it. Some years back, there was a Supreme Court case hearing on the UDV in New Mexico. They won 100% in the Supreme Court to be observed to work with this medicine.
But I've taken it with the Santo Daime Church in Brazil and here in Las Vegas, and I found that the tea is very mild, and also the church has an agenda, and you have to follow it like a church ceremony. So you cannot really do any internal work in these churches. What would you agree, Ron?
I've never participated, but I know people who have. I know their work is very structured.
That's right.
I've heard the UDV through Dennis McKenna, who has worked with them, is much different. You're more allowed to do more internal work.
I want to talk about the McKennas a little bit. Terrence McKenna, the late Terrence McKenna, of course, was a major advocate for plant substances and what they could teach us about the nature of reality. You're familiar with his work, Ron, right?
Yes, to a degree. I'm a good friend with Dennis.
That's his brother?
His brother, yes. He's a very interesting person.
Well, is there somewhere where you diverge opinions about plants and their effectiveness and what they can be used for from the McKennas?
I agree with them very much, and I've thought about these plants most of my life. Why are there hallucinogenic plants on every spot on the face of this earth? In 2000, I was here in San Francisco for the first ever conference on ayahuasca. I told a friend of mine, I said, I would like to have an icaro, a song, in English for us gringos. Us gringos don't understand all languages. Ayahuasca does. A song came to me. And it came to me that these plants, that God put these plants on the face of the earth for us to use, that they're sacred, And they're here to teach us how to live and to heal our illness.
And to teach us about the nature of reality?
Sure. And I mean, to live with nature, to live with one another. And in so many parts of the world, these plants are forbidden to use.
But
and they grow here natural. I mean, in my opinion, God put everything on his face, this earth, for us to use.
Victoria, you were saying?
In Peru, it is officially a part of the cultural heritage also.
Yes, they've made this exactly legal in Peru that they cannot take this away from the culture. This has been used for maybe as long as 3,000 years by the indigenous.
We're talking about the nature of reality and what this stuff might teach us about it. What does it teach us about it? Is it telling us that what we see around us, the physical reality, is only part of it, or it's not even real, or not as real as other kinds of realities? Does it tell us there are other dimensions? What does it tell us, Ron?
It teaches that this reality is very important also, but it connects us more with nature, to not just look at a tree and think it's just a tree. It knows nothing. It's a warehouse of knowledge to connect us with the earth, to feel how she is our mother, what she has to give to us, to all the animals and all of nature around us, that each part is important, that just not the material world is the only important thing there is. We need to really get more in touch with nature and our surroundings, to be more connected.
And the intelligence of nature.
Yes, I mean, it's far greater than us.
Well, speaking of intelligence, do you encounter other kinds of intelligences? We'll talk about spirits in a second, but Victoria, you are looking into whether you can encounter an alien. Ron, do you encounter what we would call aliens, ETs, people from somewhere else?
I have had visitors from other planets in my visions come and visit me and teach me things.
So, and are they taking ayahuasca wherever they are, or are they able to communicate without it? I'm
serious. I don't think they need to.
No.
You could be the gringo shaman visiting another planet then.
Yeah.
Gringo shaman of the cosmos. But
of the
cosmos, seriously.
There you go.
Seriously, though, you can use this as a communication tool to contact other intelligences.
Absolutely. In fact, I have. I've said, take me to another planet. And it does. It, whatever you want, it can provide for you until it decides that now it will give you what it wants to give you. But for a while, it will entertain you. You want to go to another planet. You want to learn about something. It just opens up intelligence.
What about scary stuff, depressing stuff? Ron, there must be some spirit who says, okay, you took this drug.
Yeah.
Here's the truth. You're really messed up. You're despicable.
Oh, goodness.
There's many times I have people that have very scary experiences.
I've never had a bad experience, ever.
I guess
thank goodness.
It's based on what you bring into it, but scary experiences meaning they have to come to grips with some terrible truth about themselves?
Maybe fears of being killed, consumed by an animal, dismembered by maybe spirits with swords, many different things. One guy told me that he spent the whole night in the stomach of a boa.
It was very terrifying,
but it was life-changing.
Yeah, that's why you need a shaman there to help guide you and to assist you with that. But, Ron, when people are going through that, if they call to you to come and help them,
yes.
Are you able, do you know what they're going, you can, because not only are you having, you're taking ayahuasca yourself, but then you have to become the shaman as well to help them.
That's when one is the shaman.
Right.
I may not always know exactly what's going on with them, but I do know what to do to help bring them out of that space, or either if they need to go into it deeper, that they go into it.
Wow. Well, it's an interesting.
They're like, oh, in the moment, they are terrified. The next morning, they are completely changed. They'll be ready to do it again.
Ron, we're going to continue that example and hear some more examples of what has happened to people who have taken this stuff with my guests, Ron Wheelock, the Gringo Shaman of the Amazon, and his student, Victoria Alexander. And we'll be opening up the phone lines. Stay with us here on Coast to Coast AM.